Welcome to the Beyond the Diagnosis podcast with me, Dr. Kylie. I'm so glad you're here. If you find this empowers you to take back control of your health instead of relying on the system in any way, please share this with three of your friends. Invite them to come join us. Are you ready? Let's dive inside. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. With me today, we are privileged to have Laurie Hartley Moore. Her and I have worked together in many avenues, and I love where she comes from. I love her stance, and I love how she connects the mind and the body, which is what she's going to tell us today. But just so you know a little bit more about her, she is what she calls herself and what other people know her as, the mind-body medicine woman. She's a human behavioral expert, creator, author, orator, and mentor. She's a huge believer in gaining knowledge, so you will find she wears many hats under the umbrella of her love for learning. Over the last 30 years, she's followed her passion for people, what makes us tick, and how we function best as a human race. If you are all in for a life of less stress and more success, then you can be her friend and be here by no accident. So you are here by no accident. If you're interested in any of that. So thank you, Valari, for coming and joining us both on the summit and then on the podcast. And like I said, her and I have worked together in many avenues before, and she's going to teach us about this whole what's in here can affect everything downstream. So Valari, the floor is yours.
Awesome. Thank you, Kylie. I really appreciate your introduction, and I just I'm so grateful for our connections and everything that I've been able to learn through your knowledge and your willingness to be a part of my journey as well. So for those of you that are here with us, or you're listening to this in the future, I just want to say personally, welcome. And you need to know that everything that I offer comes from my heart. And I really have a true intention that some bit of this information that I've been privileged to gain is something that you can benefit by and can make a difference for the better for you. All right, so my information that I want to share with you today is all about that mind-body connection. And see if we can get this to work. One thing that I think is so pertinent to this whole platform is our motivation. Like, why are you here spending your valuable time? For most of it's because we want something to change. And in order to have something change, we really need to understand what it's going to take to do that, both physically, mentally, and emotionally, and even spiritually. So I love just to go back to the basics. In the word motivate, there's a couple meanings here, but obviously, the first one here says, provide someone with a motive for doing something. Every action we take has a motive behind it. You know, if we stop and look at the root of it, we're driven by some meaning to do everything. And the other definition says, stimulate someone's interest in or enthusiasm for doing something. So that's, again, my intention is I hope I can stimulate some interest in you and create some enthusiasm for you to do something that can create change in your life, something that you're looking to take to the next level. So you need to know there are two orders to change. First of all, your first order of change is external. Okay, this is our short-term change. And the second order is our internal change, which really gives us that long-term permanent improvement. So here's an example. This is an easy one, because for most of us, we can relate to this, right? A change that you know you should make. What's something that pops into your head right now that you're like, oh, I should do this? And we could spend a whole nother hour speaking on should have, could have, would have, but I just want you to think of something that's a desire for you that you would, you know, there's a benefit to it and you'd love to see that change. So I use the example of eat less sugar. There's nobody out there that eats too much sugar, right? Are you nodding your head? All right. Yeah. Right. It's everywhere and it's addictive. And it's definitely a challenge in today's world to eat less sugar. So your external reason for eating less sugar, most likely for a lot of people would be, well, I know if I eat less sugar, it's been proven that I can lose weight. So that's my short-term thing is I'm going to eat less sugar. I'm going to lose the pounds. And that's what I want to do. But if we look internally, there's something deeper to that. Well, I want to lose weight. Okay. Well, if I eat less sugar and I lose weight, there's got to be a deeper reason, something that gives me the motivation to make the change long term. So this example might be that I know that if I eat less sugar to lose the weight, I might feel better about myself and actually live a longer, healthier life. Okay. Those are pretty basic concepts. Now I want to connect the, you know, the mind and body scenario here and give you some insight to the fact that there is always a root cause, even deeper than the internal reason. If we go right into the base, there is always something that is the driving factor. So let me share a personal story with you. When I took a deep look at the sugar consumption in my life and why that was so satisfying to me, one of the reasons anyways, was that growing up, my grandmother, whenever we went to her house, which was often, she always had some sort of treat or cookie, baked good. And if she didn't have it right ready for you to come through the door to, you know, to take it, we were on our way to go out to lunch or out to breakfast or out to dinner. It was always centered around. And I related that internally in my mind, in my emotions, to love. So I have a belief that sugar makes me feel loved. Isn't that crazy?
That's good. People don't realize that, but it is the truth.
It is true. And so regardless of, you know, if you're taking notes right now and you jotted something down about something you know you should change, I want you to look at the short-term external, the long-term internal, but then really go to the root. Why is this a need for me? Why is it a weakness for me? Why is it something that is a challenge in my life? And find out where the root's coming from. Now, in my case, I had to figure out what I was going to replace that with. Interestingly enough, I just had a wave of emotion. My grandmother passed away. It's been a year ago, in fact, July 24th, this last year, she passed away. And she was probably the closest person in my life. She, other than my spouse and my children, right? I had such a close relationship with her. And her passing away and having that loss and grief really triggered me back into the sugar and that need for that love and connection that I was missing from her. And it has only been recently that I've been able to recognize why I was triggered back into that again and be able to release it and replace it. So that's a key secret here. You've got to find something that can replace that root cause in a positive way. Yeah. So for instance, I have been really participating in learning yoga and meditation. And I even started a medical Qigong class that I do on Saturdays. And being present with my mind and my thoughts, and even taking that time to connect to my love and my memories with my grandmother, has been able to be that resource to give me that feel that I needed and not my short-term weakness of turning to sugar to fulfill those emotions. So yeah. I hope this nugget right here that we've, you know, looked into is something that can be a valuable tool for all of our listeners and our viewers to utilize. So let's move on a little bit more.
Laurie, real quickly.
Yeah.
Before we jump on, most people would blame themselves for not having the control.
Yes.
For not for lacking that motivation, or literally, like they always say, they always tell me, well, I just can't control it. I have to have my 64 ounce of Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
Whatever it may be. But really, there's an underlying driving factor. It's not just that you're unable to conquer this thing. And I love how you said you have to be able to recognize it and then replace it with something. Because you can't just pull it out. You've got to fill it back in with something else.
Yeah, and that's a perfect example because, you know, soda pop is an addictive thing. And most people would tell you right off the bat, well, I need it because it gets me through the day. It gives me energy. And there's a whole base of physical reasons that that reaction is happening in the body. But if we don't go to that inner self and start looking at the base, well, why are you tired? Why did you start drinking it? What does it relate to physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, and even spiritually sometimes? So there's definitely a lot to that. And again, I could spend the whole time just talking about that one piece. But what I really want to do today is I'm going to teach you what I call the 5-second rule. And it's going to be a phenomenal tool to help you really learn to master your mindset. And then all of these other pieces can start to fall into place. So I love this little girl with her glasses on. And my big belief, this is my standard operating procedure, is that knowledge equals power. And the more you know, the more you are equipped to go out and just create a better life. And the thing that people need to understand is you don't know what you don't know. And we are all operating at the level in which we understand. So our perception of what is true or not true, which by the way, comes from your mental body, right? Perception equals reality. So you can believe something's absolutely true and the rest of the world could say, no, that's false. But it's your perception of it that makes it true or false for you. So something to think about there. I love this little gal on her bike with her training wheels. And like I said, the reality is that what you know is where you are right now. Where you're at, the things you have learned have brought you to this space. So again, kudos to you for showing up, listening, and being open to learning and adding to your knowledge base so that you have the additional skills, tools, know-how to do something differently, to make the change, to be motivated to create the best version of you. So I always ask my clients, the question is always, are you ready to level up? Because it's going to take a little bit of work. And most people find a whole lot of joy in that journey. Not to say that it's always easy, but it's so worth it. Do the homework. Okay, so back to the 5-second rule here. This is something that I actually so fascinated with. And I learned this through Dr. Howard Schubner. And I apologize because that image doesn't look like it's very clear here. But his trainings, his institute, the courses that he teaches are just mind-blowing. And he is all about unlearning your pain and the literal neuroscience behind how the brain is wired to register pain and to undo pain. And this little 5-second rule trick is something that is a version of what I have learned through studying with Dr. Schubner. Okay, so rather than me jabbering on about it, I'm just going to show you this 4-minute video where one of the Motivational Mondays that I do, I really speak to this. And let's see if we can just go up here.
Hey, this is Laurie Moore, and I am here in beautiful northern Utah coming to you for your Monday Mindset. The topic I'd like to discuss with you today is the fact that our thoughts create our emotions. Now, there is an incredible course that I have taken, and I highly recommend it. In fact, there's a book that you can purchase. And it is through, the course is called Unlearn Your Pain by Howard Schubner, MD, also with Michael Betzhold. And it's an incredible, incredible course. I know you're getting some glare feedback there. But the theory behind all of this that I feel like every single human should know is that as a thought enters your mind, you literally have 5 seconds before it turns into an emotion. So you have the opportunity, believe it or not, to choose how you want to feel about any given situation. So for instance, let's say that I'm cruising down the road and somebody pulls out in front of me and cuts me off. My first thought is, holy crap, what a jerk. And yet my knowing that I have the ability to choose how I want to think about that, they have actually studied through the doctors here that the brain has 5 seconds before it's going to release a chemical reaction to the thought that just entered. So, for instance, if I have a negative thought full of anger or hurt or sadness, my body will release the stress hormones, like cortisol, that send the signals to every cell in the body that we're tense, that we're upset, that life is not good. And yet, in that same 5 seconds, if a thought comes in and it's not one that I really care to keep, I have the ability to stop the thought and choose, how do I want to feel about this? Right now, I might be angry, but I know I have 5 seconds to literally switch that feeling around or that thought. So instead of being angry at the guy that just cut me off, I could switch to, gosh, I really send them lots of love and hope wherever they're going in such a hurry today that they get there okay. And I'm going to send them peace and love. And at the end of that 5 seconds, my thought is peace and love. And that's what resonates within me. So now my body releases the feel-good hormones, the serotonin, the dopamine, all of those supporting chemicals in the body that say, you know what, life's okay. So if you can take that treasure of information into every moment and every day, now it doesn't happen overnight, and it takes a lot of practice to get good at remembering you get to control how you want to feel about something, taking your thought and choosing where and what you want to think before it actually becomes an emotion and a chemical release in the body. It's pretty powerful stuff. I teach my clients in my private practice all the time that your ability to co-create your world really is all connected to the knowledge and the awareness level that you have. The more ability you have comes from the knowledge you have that you literally get to choose. And this life is all about you learning to happen to life instead of life happening to you. Again, it's, you know, it's not a magic button. Oh, I know this. Now I never have to feel crappy again. But it does give your brain a choice to decide, what is it that I want out of this very moment? And if you remember, the power is always in the now. So today, Monday, first of the week, and it might be any day of the week for you, morning, night, you might be coming to us across the other side of the, you know, the planet or the continent. Either way, just take a moment and practice. The more you practice, the more you will be able to master your mindset. So again, if it's Monday, wherever you are, enjoy your day and remember, the power is in the very moment of now, and you get to happen to life. Take care.
Okay, let's come back out here. Pretty interesting, right? Any thoughts on that, Dr. Kylie?
I love that 5 second rule. I kind of do things a little bit different with my 5 second rule, but when you have the power to really say, how am I going to respond to this? That's going to literally navigate your entire day. Your days turn into weeks, your weeks turn into years. So you're going to control your life based off of 5 seconds, off of every single decision and every single thought you have. Yeah, I love that.
Awesome. Yeah, it's amazing. I feel like so many people are operating in a space of so much pain because they have no idea that they have a choice, that they get to choose. Most people, they actually get angry when they're like, what do you mean I can choose how I feel? Well, it takes some mastery, but when you realize that you're the only one that gets to control those thoughts and that thoughts are things, right? It's a totally different space of where you can operate from. Here's a couple takeaways on that 5-minute video we watched. Thoughts are things, and that is a huge awareness. It's a new idea for a lot of people that our thinking actually can create what's happening physically in the body. Most people think, oh, I got sick, or I caught this illness, or I came down with this disease. And yet, the more advanced science gets, and the more we understand how the brain and the emotions work, the more evidence there is to show that everything that shows up physically, that's not an acute, like, oh, I just broke my leg, some things that have been stirring in there for a long time, and I know this is what you teach as well, like, this doesn't happen overnight. And what we think in our minds is literally what is being manifested in our body. And these thoughts turn into emotions. And if they're not properly processed or dealt with, they will store in different places of the body and actually create stress and physical weakness in that area until the organ or the tissues, whatever it is, starts to break down. And it's a real, real thing. For sure.
One of my biggest pet peeves is when people say, well, I feel like I'm getting sick. Yeah, keep telling yourself that and you will be getting sick. I feel a cold coming on. Keep telling yourself you're going to get a cold.
Right. Just well, and that's crazy. That's another golden nugget here to write down as well. Learn to master your words. The words you speak are creating your future. Believe it or not. And so if you keep reiterating that, gosh, I'm so tired. Gosh, I'm so tired. Gosh, I'm so tired. Your subconscious does not have the ability to decipher, you know, whether it's truth or fiction. It just hears it as fact. So whatever you're speaking is internally being logged as truth. So make sure the power of your words is being utilized, because it really is the root of everything that's going on in your outer world. It all starts on the inside for sure. Okay, so I just want to offer you some homework. I'm all about action, and action equals progress. So jot down in your notes here, I really would love for you to think about creating a go-to anchor statement. So when you're triggered into a negative emotion that you really don't want to stick around, have a ready go-to statement. For instance, it might be as simple as love and peace, or I'm happy, or life is good, or I'm stronger every day, whatever. It could be what most label a positive affirmation, but it's a quick go-to statement. So when you get triggered, you've got that 5 seconds to re-choose. You know what? No, I'm not going to choose angry. I'm going to choose understanding. I'm going to choose forgiveness. Learning to meet people where they're at and know that they're only operating at that level at where they're equipped takes it out of having it have to be all about you. Most things that are going on around us with other people, we tend to, as a society or population, we tend to think, oh gosh, they don't like me, or that was really rude. You know, how come they're being mean to me, or how come they didn't take the time to show me more appreciation, whatever it is. And honestly, as we know, most of us are so caught up in our own thoughts and our own thinking that we have no awareness of how that might be affecting someone else. So own your power, take it back, understand that people are just operating at the level in which they are able. And you get to choose, because now you have this new awareness where you want to come from, what space that is. Anger might be your natural go-to, but over time, you'll be able to rewrite those pathways in the brain so that your natural go-to is peace and allowance, or love and joy, or whatever the anchor statement is for you. Take the time and find an anchor statement, something that brings you back to your center and gives you that peace of mind that we all would love to stay in 24/7. All right. So my next piece of homework is that I really want you to identify your perceptions. So you might find yourself saying things this week, doing things this week, and catching yourself and ask the question, is that true? Like, do I really believe this or that? Notice your wording. If you find yourself saying even something that might be a fact, like, for instance, somebody this morning in yoga class said, well, I have, you know, cystic fibrosis disease. Well, your labs might have proven that that was true when they were taken. But as we know, the body is ever reproducing and changing, and those new cells are developing. So if you don't claim that as a life sentence, the possibilities for your body to create something better or improved from that state, that is a human right. It's a universal law that that is possible. So don't keep speaking the things that you don't want. A good example of how you could switch that around might be in the past. I use that word all the time, or that sentence, because the past might have been 10 seconds ago, but if I can put it something that I don't want to hold on to for my future, if I can put it in the past, then the power is always in the now. Right now, I don't have to choose what was just a minute ago. Does that make sense?
Yeah, Lori, let's expand on that, because I know from what I see, the whole owning your diagnosis, making it become you, mm-hmm. that is a big... I mean, we go to the doctors wanting a diagnosis. We want something, a label to be placed on our name so we can say, oh, I have this, and because of that, I am now this way. When in reality, like you said, it is whether you got diagnosed with it 10 years ago or you're still searching for that diagnosis, start changing your mind to go away from the diagnosis, go away from the label. Because when you go away from labeling yourself, that's when your body is like, oh, cool. I might have had this in the past, but I don't need to hold on to it forever. I don't need to take my thyroid medication forever. I might have a thyroid problem last week, but if I start to change my thinking and allow my body to heal, allow my body to thrive, that's when changes start. And it starts literally, as you know, and as you've been teaching us, right here in your thoughts. One of the biggest changes for me that I've gone through the last year was my thoughts regarding money. Because people will say, oh my gosh, she's so rich. It's not a bad thing to be rich. Like, it just means that they've done well with finances and they can now do good things with that money. So instead of seeing money as a negative perception in my head, and it's not like I grew up poor or anything, we always had what we needed, but the whole thought of I'm going to now thrive in the financial industry has been a big mind shift change for me. So to all you listeners, there's always something that we can literally start changing the way we perceive about it. And that's what I'm all about. This whole, don't fight for a diagnosis, like fight for a, why is my body showing these symptoms and how can I heal it? Rather than...
That's the key right there, Kylie, right? Why is my body showing these symptoms? Those symptoms are messages. They're the red flags where your body's saying, hey, I need some support. I need some help here. And so often people will take their diagnosis or their ailments, and it's almost like it becomes their identity and it becomes their excuse. And I know I just ruffled some feathers by saying that. Please know from the bottom of my heart, I do not have any intention to diminish anyone's struggles or the reality of their health challenges. There's not much that's harder on this earth than what we deal with in our physical bodies. But sometimes we are finding that we are getting our needs met more by being sick than being healthy. And what I mean by that is you're shown more love, you're shown more attention, people give you more time. There's more of all of that coming to you. So we all have that base need to matter and to be loved and to feel good enough. So what I'm giving you the opportunity to look at is perhaps there are avenues where you can start to feed your own needs through different means versus having to stay stuck in being sick and weak and ill, whatever that looks like, to get the attention you need. There's a lot of people that they're afraid to get better because that support and attention might go away. So there's some real mind work that needs to take place, mind and heart, right? That need to take place there so that you can develop the things that you need, the know-how that you need to be able to find the strength within and, you know, above and any of that you are going to need. And then you don't have to have that outside support of relying on others to make you feel okay. Does right. that make sense?
Yeah. Not only that, the whole mind shift thinking, but people, it actually becomes an identity. And uh-huh. you have to change your identity. For example, this isn't a health case, but for my life, I started playing volleyball at 12 years old. I played it year round every year until I was 22. That's 10 years of volleyball. I mean, my senior year of high school, there was one weekend I was not found on a volleyball court, whether it was playing or coaching. And so come my end of college, now I don't have volleyball. So it was a complete identity shift. Like, I was volleyball. That's who I was.
Yeah.
And so I had to change my identity. And the crazy thing is I went off to med school and I haven't touched a volleyball since. But once I replaced it with something else. I didn't just drop it off. All my time went elsewhere. So back to that whole replacing thing.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and depending on when you're watching this or listening to this, recently, worldwide, we have all gone through the pandemic of COVID-19. And there are a lot of people's identities that have been lost through a job or a loved one or the fear and the isolation that's been created. And so it's definitely, I mean, it's a real thing where you have to take a look at how that's affecting you and how you can find the resources to create the balance. And that's one of the things I love about this summit and your podcast is all of that information that is available for people if they'll go out and, you know, and just reach out for it and utilize the resources. So speaking to that, this is a whole nother course that I teach, but I wanted to offer it to all of the listeners and the people involved in this and just give you this bonus. So this is my 7 Bodies of Balance worksheet. And the amazing thing about this, we don't have time to, you know, to go all into this today. But the bottom line you need to remember is we're not just a physical body. There are 7 pieces to the whole of us, and each one of them is vital. So if you're totally focused just on, say, your vocational area where you're sacrificing your physical and your relationships and your social, and you know you're stressed out all the time, so your emotions and your mental side of it is, you know, being abused. You have to understand that, and it's easy to do as humans, right? In our weaknesses, we get focused in on one area and we let everything else go. And if your true happiness lies in your total health, then you have to be aware of each of these 7 areas in the body. And so with our presentation here today, you will have the opportunity to download both this chart to give you the details for each one of those areas of balance, and then also the worksheet. And I would just challenge you to print the worksheet out, and whether you do it once a week, once a month, even once a day, find something in each area of your life, you know, in these 7 bodies of balance to give yourself a little goal, a little incentive. You know, it might be something as simple as, hey, I'm going to set an alarm this week on my phone, which I did every 2 hours during the day so that I remember to drink that glass of water. So that by the end of the day, I've gotten, you know, my 7 to 8 glasses in. And instead of getting to the end of the day, I'm wondering why my kidneys are hurting because I've only had like 10 ounces of water the whole day. Just simple things. You know, your social might be to make a goal to call a lunch, a friend and, you know, go to lunch or whatever it might be. Can you see how simple it is? It can be a big goal or something simple and easy, you know, baby steps to get to where you're going. But to be conscious that there are all of these pieces to us and that it's not something you have to be overwhelmed about. It's just something you need to be aware of so that you can give your body the care. And when I say your body, I'm talking about physical, social, vocational, environmental, emotional, mental, and spiritual. All of those areas need your awareness so that you can have the help that we all desire to be able to have a full, long, you know, life full of everything you love. So hopefully that is a fun bonus, something you can all do as a takeaway. I hope that even between the 5-second rule and some of the other things that Dr. Kylie and I have spoken to, you have found some real value and some ideas to really ponder and, spend some time on and see how you can implement those in your life.
Thank you, Lari. That was fantastic. I hope you guys got out as much from that as I did. I love that. That was so fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening, take those words into, we talked about a lot of golden nuggets today with the 5-second rule, changing your identity, thinking, having that mind shift going from I'm searching for a diagnosis, I am a diagnosis, to hey, this is just portraying to me in my body right now. How can I change it? How can I give it back that healing environment that we're all capable of doing? I love that. That was so special. So thank you once again, Lari. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Beyond the Diagnosis with me, Dr. Kylie. If you enjoyed this and you learned something new, if you felt empowered in any way, please go invite 3 of your friends to come join us. And then meet me right back here again next week.